Welcome everybody. So today I'm with Etienne.
Etienne, hello.
Hi. We are here in Montreal for the MVP days.
And you had a presentation, right?
I did.
Okay. So yeah, can you introduce yourself?
Yes. So my name is Etienne Tremblay. I'm actually an ALM MVP for the last 10 years. So since the product's introduction, TFS, I've been an MVP for this product team. It's been a great journey, and I've got so many stories that I could tell you about the product as it evolved, but we'll stick to the subject at hand today. I'm also part of the ALM Rangers that kind of fill the gap between the different versions as they come out. We kind of do different things to alleviate the holes in the product. So we add some new things that the product can actually support while we're waiting for the next version to come out.
Cool. So you said since 10 years in this product, so yeah. It's been a while now?
It's been a very long, 2005.
Yeah, wow.
You know, so yeah, it's been a while.
Cool. So yeah, thank you for having me today. It's
okay.
Really cool. So yeah, I want to talk about you, about your experience. So you have some experience, you're a consultant?
I am.
Okay. So
for a company called, let me introduce
myself. Yeah, exactly.
So I work for Imaginet, which is a small business based in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And we do all sorts of things, including ALM consulting for firms, large and small, as well as software development, remote software development. We do SharePoint development as well. So we touch a lot of different things. We were the partner of the year, Microsoft Partner of the Year in 2011 as well.
Oh,
so we got a lot of customers and a lot of TFS installs, so yeah.
Cool. Okay, perfect. First, I have a question. So, we're here to talk about DevOps, right?
Right.
And when I heard about ALM and DevOps, and I met a lot of clients say, okay, what's the difference between ALM and DevOps? Is it new? Is it the same thing? So, can you talk to me about that?
So, yes. So, ALM is Application Lifecycle Management.
Yeah.
And ALM is it's a broad term that kind of became known people started using that back in the 90s, right? So, it's been around for a long while. And it involves the whole process. So, we're talking about requirement elicitation, grabbing information for your customer, planning, then developing, building your application. You might run some tests, automated tests, unit tests. Then we go all the way to deployment. We might run a load test and for cloud-based application. We're deploying all this, and then we actually monitor and we kind of look what's happening with our application through App Insight, for example, or things like that. And then we start over for our next requirement, and that's kind of a whole process in a very short kind of description here. DevOps is really just one part of ALM, so it's a smaller part. It's more about it came about with what we want is communication between the dev team and the operations team. So what used to happen, and still happens quite a lot actually, is that the developer do their thing, they develop their application, and then they say, here you go, testers, and then they start doing something else. And then the tester kind of have a ball of things, and then they're like, okay, let me test this.
When you have testers, for sure.
And then so you have testers that actually do that, or the developer tested their stuff, and then they say, here you go, operation, deploy that, right? And then the operation is like, what do you want me to do? Like, how do I deploy this? Like, is this do I need to run a script? Do I need to, like, what do I do? So, so this communication has been lacking and is still lacking in a lot of organization. And what we try to do is really bridging the gap. DevOps is really bridging the gap between developers and the operations team so that they maybe talk the same language, even maybe talk to themselves, and then try to come up with a plan that developers can actually do things, and then operation can consume it, and it becomes organic. It's not this thing where I'm giving you something and figure out how to do it. Right?
Just a silo of the dev.
Correct.
Cool. And about that, so yeah, you said DevOps is a part of ALM, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about a lot of practices, a lot of tests, but a lot of things, application side for the feedback.
Yep.
That's really interesting. Other thing, some people ask me about, Agile and DevOps. So
yep.
ALM, DevOps, now I think we have a pretty good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And can you talk to me about Agile? Agile is now, I I think about 10 years now, or around 10
years? Yeah, 2001. Yeah, so 2000. We're talking about almost 15 years now. And so Agile, as you know, mutated throughout the years. And like on a very, you know, again, very broad scale, Agile methodologies are where we actually want to do something as a team, have a lot of our member, the team members be, they can do everything, right? Yeah. So they can test, they can code, they can kind of, they can gel between themselves. And essentially we want to create something in a short period of time that used to be, that would take years to do. So if we just briefly talk about the waterfall model, where we would do the requirement elicitation, we would do the development, we would do the testing, we would do the deployment, all of this we would do over a period of 2 years, right? Now we want to do everything in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you know, or a month, right? Like, you know, iteration might vary depending on the team. And the what we want to do is we want to do all these things in a sprint or an iteration, and at the end we want to have something that we can actually show our customer so that we can quickly change direction. If the customer says, you know what, I like what you did, but I'd would rather you change this a little bit, we can tweak that along the way, and in the end we might do less of what's in the requirement document, but what the customer will have is something that he actually needs.
Yeah.
As opposed to 2 years later, oh, we don't need this anymore because the market has changed so much that it doesn't make sense to have that anymore. So Agile and DevOps, so that's like I said, it's kind of mutated. So originally it was more, we're Agile, we have sprints, we do user stories and all that. And now it's the let's use the buzzword or the process of the day really is Scrum, right? So Scrum is even more Agile than Agile, we could say, right? It's still a flavor of Agile, and it's really about tooling. It's really about empowering your developer and your team to actually accomplish things as fast as you can. And to, at the end, there's little nuance with Agile in general, but essentially what we want is that at the end, we have a shippable increment of code. So what we do at the end of our sprint, it's very important that it actually runs and we can actually show it to the customer. And if we wanted to, and the what we strive to in Scrum is to say, this we could actually ship to production and they could work with it, right? They should work with it. So how's that impacting our DevOps and our ALM? Well, the ALM cycle doesn't really change. It's just a little bit faster, and we don't gather requirements for months. We just gather the requirements for the PBI or the user story we're actually working on for this sprint. And as the sprint evolved, and we got, you know, business analysts that can get more information, they put more meat on the bone of our PBIs and our user story as time go by. And as we're going to pick it in our sprint, then it has as much information as possible that we know that we can actually develop something for. So with the DevOps in there, we're in the same really fast feedback cycle where we used to develop something and then, oh, here you go. And then we don't really know if IT will actually ship it, will deploy it. Are they deploying the right one? We don't really know. So all of this needs tooling, right? It needs tooling, and it needs tooling that's reliable. It needs tooling that will do everything in an automated fashion. So the more we go, and the more I still go to customers and they're like, so how do you deploy? Well, you know, I go to this share folder and there's a zip file of whatever I need to do. And then there's a document with 15 page that I follow, and I create this user and I do. So all these things need to be automated, right? Yeah. We have automation technology in the form of PowerShell that's actually super powerful. Mm-hmm. We can do everything we want in there. So what I go when I go to customers and they do that, I'm saying, show me this document, right? And then I look at this 15 page and I'm like, okay, this is this command, all of this. Yeah, then I script something, and then we do all this, and the intent is, okay, you're the IT guy, you tell me how I install IIS, because maybe I don't know how to do that. Maybe I do, I don't, but you do know.
And I want your best practices.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to do what you do. So you tell me how you want me to do that, but I'm going to take this and I'm going to take my code and we're going to do what we call now, which is like the big deal, is configuration as code, right? So configuration as code is, I want to deploy and actually I don't even want to have a machine there. I want to just say, here's my configuration. I need a machine with IIS, with SQL, with whatever. I'm going to just go boom and oof, it appears and I deploy my app to it and it works, yeah. Right? And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people in the industry right now that are even more robust, rigid, where they say, you know what, we created this configuration as code, put that under version control so it's all good, all set up, and then we say, I'm deploying this thing and nobody can RDP in the machine. Yeah. If it's not working, change the configuration, deploy it again. If it's working, then we know exactly what's there because we have it in code, right? So this is the DevOps with the agility and all that. This is really how it's coming about.
That's another thing, because now everything is code, right?
Yes.
Even the infrastructure, the configuration.
Correct.
You say, if you want to deploy 100 times the same thing, you can now. With PowerShell, but also with other technologies.
And we're removing the human factor, and so that's what a lot of IT folks are scared about. They're like, okay, well, I'm going to lose my job. Well, actually, you don't lose your job, because to me, if my job was to actually manually run, you know, a command to add a user to AD, or actually, you know, go to the GUI and do something, and like if that was my job, I would not be happy, right?
Yeah.
So I would find a way to automate my job and then do something else, right? And I think if you want to bring value to your enterprise right now as an IT guy, you absolutely need to try and talk with the dev and say, what am I doing here that we can actually do together, that we can actually ship our stuff faster? Because what happens is, as we're not shipping stuff very fast, which is what the industry is right now, because we're not shipping stuff fast enough, what do they do? Well, they take Excel and they write their own application in macros.
Shadow IT.
Shadow IT. Yeah. And then like, oh, we have this application you asked us for 3 months ago or six months ago. It's like, oh, I don't need it anymore because I have my Excel spreadsheet that does all that, right? So we need to be fast, we need to be productive, and we need to be performant in what we do. And we can't do that if we have to do stuff manually.
Yeah.
Because manually, I mean, sometimes I've seen some deployment plan that are, like I said, 15 page long, 100 steps. What are the odds that you're going to miss something, right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you're
just
you're
the time to grab a cup of coffee.
Exactly. And, you're going to forget, like, oh, was I at 39 or 30? Like, did I create this user? I don't know, right? So we want to automate those things, and we want to not only automate but make sure that our automation checks itself.
Yeah.
Like it tests itself to make sure that, you know, I created a user, is the user there?
Yeah.
Like, and we can do that in Scrum.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we can validate all that, right? So that's actually very important.
Cool. Okay, thank you, Etienne.
Now,
last thing, you talk about, your experience, and I love the story about the manual, the deployment manual, when you have all these steps. It could be a good first best practices. If I want to start to do DevOps, LM, Agile, to have some automation on my environment, What's your recommendation?
So the best thing right now is, especially if you do things manually, right? And unfortunately, I don't want to point fingers, because I think that sometimes it's the dev guys that don't do a great job of that. Sometimes it's the IT guys that don't do a great job of that. But anything that you can do that you actually know you're doing manually, you should try to see if you can create a script for it. Right, and it might be a small script, right? And my first recommendation with every customer that I go to these days is learn PowerShell.
Okay.
Learn PowerShell. PowerShell is the future. PowerShell does everything, right? So if you know PowerShell, you'll be able to do everything you want to do. Automate, you'll be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my first thing to them, is like, learn PowerShell. Once you've learned PowerShell and and I'm not saying like deep learning of PowerShell, because you can do some very good scripts without being an expert at PowerShell.
We have a lot of resources.
And there's a ton of examples.
Absolutely.
There's a ton of examples. And to be frank, you can just say, I want to do this in PowerShell in Google, and you're going to get
and start a full AD.
Everything, everything is there, right? So just look online, you'll find the resource you're looking for, and then tweak it to your own environment. And so try to look at anything you're doing manually, try to see if you can script it. because after you've scripted, then you can actually go into a more interesting process where you're actually deciding, you use a tool like release management, and then or the actual build, the TFS build, mm-hmm. and you tell the build, oh, by the way, once you're done, then I want to run this PowerShell script that's actually going to sign my binaries, or it's going to, you know, do copy stuff around and package it with Chocolaty, for yeah. example, or create an MSI with it, or anything you want to do, you can probably do in PowerShell. So the build will let you do that, and you need to write some deploy script and just send them into the release management pipeline, which will actually run those scripts and deploy in the environment. And then you can use multi-environment segregation, make sure you have the right things in the right environments, and yeah. all that good stuff, right? So actually, that's probably my start by learning
small,
PowerShell.
Start small.
Yep. Start by learning PowerShell, and there's a bunch of really good PowerShell resource online as well that you can learn PowerShell, the basics at least, and then try to look at what you're doing manually. And try to see if you can automate some of these things, uh-huh. right? And then as time goes by, you're going to automate more and more. And the intent is to try to remove manual step from your process, if at all possible.
Okay, cool. I think it's a good advice. Last thing, do you have some recommendations, some books, some blogs, some?
So there's a great book that I recommend to my customers all the time. It's called The Phoenix Project. And this is really, it's interesting because people think it's a text-based.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's actually a novel.
Yeah.
Like, it really is a novel about this guy that gets promoted to CIO, and then all of a sudden he inherits the IT shop, and all hells break loose because they need to ship an application by the end of a certain date, and it doesn't go as planned. And they actually go through the whole kind of thinking about, hey, we're actually building software like a power plant or a car plant,
yeah.
and here's all the steps you should do, and look at this, and your bottleneck. And I got one of my customers to actually read it recently, and he was a little skeptical at the beginning, and then I said, go ahead and read that. And he came back the Monday, like I told him that on the Friday, he came back on the Monday, he said, I couldn't stop, I had just read it all.
Yeah, and you want to know how it stands, and
exactly.
how
he
can resolve all the
problems. And then he came back, yeah. and then he said, I know who this guy is. I know who Bob is.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the bottleneck
yeah. yeah,
guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's actually really interesting because he got a lot of different ideas of I can see the bottlenecks in my yeah. organization, right? And how can I change my organization so it's more agile, more performant, more So it's actually a really, really good book, The Phoenix Project, and MSDN has a bunch of really good examples on learning PowerShell and different examples. GitHub has a ton of things.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, Bing or Google, the information you're looking for. And I can tell you most of what you're going to try to do, it's available online. Somebody's done it.
Cool.
Like, you're not doing anything that yeah. hasn't been done before.
Okay, cool. So thank you very much, Etienne.
You're welcome.
Thank you for watching this video. If you want to follow to the discussion, you can reach the hashtag TalkDevOps, and see you next time. Bye-bye.